Hello and welcome along to season 2, episode 3 of My Time in the Ganzi here on the Left Wing Back podcast. We're back after a brief sabbatical and we're back with a bang once again because we have a very, very special guest lined up for you, and today's episode is in association with Talbot Fitness, the number one leisure centre in Carlow. Hello and welcome along to another edition of My Time in the Ganzi here on the Left Wing Back podcast. This time we're off to Navan and we're going to talk to what I would argue is probably the most consistent hurler that Carlow had for approximately 15 years or so. Probably a no-brainer to many, but this guy has amassed many great accolades, winning county championships, winning Christie Rings and captaining the Ireland Shinty team as well in a half-back line that included Tommy Walsh and Sean O'Gahalveen. And guess who was in the middle? Yes, indeed. It was Mr. Shane Kavanagh. Shane, how's things? Welcome on the Left Wing Back podcast.
Not too bad. Thanks, Kevin, for having me and congratulations on a successful show.
Thanks a million, Shane. Great to have you on. You're on the hit list for season 2. We didn't want to use up all our top class stars in the first season, so thankfully we have a good few of them here in Carlow, despite what many people would say otherwise. But how's all with you anyway?
Very quiet now at the moment with the lockdown. Looking forward to getting back out to the down to the training field and doing a small bit, I suppose.
Yeah. It's nice to be actually, you know, in a position where we can kind of look forward to a return. I know we might be a little bit off yet. If you hadn't retired from county stuff so young now, Shane, you could be back at the moment. You mightn't have to be worrying about waiting another few weeks like us winter or those ups, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I was long overdue me retiring, so it was the demands are placed on players at the moment. I think it's a young man's game.
Well, you gave serious service. Was it 15 years in total? I think 2002 or 2003 till about 2017, yeah?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Serious closest.
It flew by in a shot, so it did.
Yeah, straight out of minor, or were you actually a minor at the time when you went in?
Yeah, I was straight out of minor. I think we had a strong minor county team at that time, and I think three or four of us went up senior straight out of minor. So I think it was myself, Des Shaw, Carol English, a few players like that. I think, yeah. Mark Brennan went off to play football. He thought he was a footballer.
Mark still doesn't know what he is, I think.
No.
But he's after forging out a fairly all right coaching career for himself, to be fair to him. But Shane, I'll take it back a little bit further than that, if that's okay, because talk to us about what a young Shane Kavanagh was like. Obviously, Ned being your dad was always going to be one winner and one winner only in that household, and that was going to be hurling, I suppose, first and foremost, and maybe a bit of football as well.
Yeah, I suppose when I was young, I used to go down training down to the old lawn down in Meister with my father. And even before, when I was underage, it was under 12 where you started playing organized games, and when I was 6, 7, 8, and 9 I was down the lawn and I was going getting the ball for Tom Byrne, who was in the goal, and if the ball went out over the net I'd be going to retrieve the ball for him, and when the ball was out the field Tom would be showing me how to roll lift the ball correctly and so on. But sure, obviously then at home it was hurling every weekend. There was I was either at a game or watching games on TV, and sure it was number one.
Sure it was. I suppose you were looking up at very good Meisel teams as a chap, and you know, obviously your dad played on them, so you were kind of just eager, I suppose, to try and make that breakthrough. And you know, I suppose as we said already, it was always going to be hurling for you, like, but when you're looking up at that level of success, it obviously helps greatly, and I'm sure it did from another age point of view with yourself too.
Yeah, I would have been in dressing rooms as a mascot when I was underage, and even to this day when I get the smell of DP, I think back to those dressing rooms where you'd have the likes of Patter Jordan and Kieran Jordan and Anthony Curry and Big Dez and all these guys, and to actually get to play with all those guys afterwards was a great achievement for me. And when I was under 14, it was my biggest thing was to try and make the senior hurling team in Meisel. That's all I wanted to do, and if I could make senior hurling team in Meisel, that kind of would have brought me success. So,
and what age were you when you actually made the senior hurling team with Meisel? You were young, like
I was 16. I think I was 16 heading for 17. I was probably a few months shy of 17.
Right, yeah. So kind of last year under 16 or first year minor?
Would have been my first year minor.
Yeah.
First year minor, yeah.
Yeah, it's mad to think that you can't even do that now, like.
No, that's unheard of now. And maybe it's for the better, because at that time I was playing minor hurling football club and played a little bit of county football with the minors. And then, sure, I would have played under 21, 3 or 4 years under 21 with the county and the club, and football with county and the club. And it probably didn't stand to me later on in my years, and I probably wasn't mature enough to look after my body the way it needed to be looked after. I was kind of getting injuries and not really rehabbing them properly. And maybe it is for the betterment of players now that they kind of get that bit more time to mature physically and mentally.
Yeah, a year or two more, you know, on the development side of things, and get the head screwed on and get the body into decent shape and be able for the big hits. But like, before we jump into that stuff as well, like, you went through De La Salle and you had serious teams in De La Salle.
We did, yeah. We had serious. We probably underachieved a lot on the hurling side of things in De La Salle, but we had a very good football team, and we got to a Northern final in football, and I think we were narrowly beaten by Clonmel. But we definitely underachieved, because we had a few good hurlers from Paulstown in the De La Salle back then as well, and we didn't have much success on the hurling side of things.
Yeah, there's a picture up on the wall in De La Salle from that football team, and I think the Bowl Mick Crew was over that. Like he was over some operator.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he did. If you weren't doing your job properly, he wasn't long about telling you.
He would let you know about it. But there was a couple of great guys. I don't know, like, Jakes was involved with football in there a little bit too. Did you play under Jakes at all? Any stage?
No. It was Mick Carew was a footballer, and Owen Garvey was over the hurling team. And so then obviously we had Owen with the county minors as well. And he went on to have some success as a coach as well.
Yeah.
At senior level in Carlow.
There were some great teachers in there, in fairness, like all football aside. Like, I mean, Jake's, Lord rest him, was a serious
yeah,
teacher.
Yeah, he was.
And, those type of teachers, for me, if you didn't like the subject, they would make you like it, because just
their demeanor
and character, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Jake's was one of the best teachers in there. And even if you didn't like the subject, you'd still get on well with Jake's.
Yeah, great character. Like, but yeah, so limited success on the hurling front through the schools. But, you know, you mentioned the football. Going on to minors then and stuff, like, you were getting to All-Ireland Minor B finals and winning some of those, as far as I can remember.
Yeah, well, I suppose it all started maybe under 14 with Seamus Brennan and Shane Brophy were over us, and we went to a Tony Forrestal tournament. I remember I was on the squad, but I didn't get any game time, and I'd say that was a big motivating factor for me. Not making the starting 15 and the Tony Forrestal tournament. And then under 15, we had the area teams. I think that was organised by Seamus and Shane Brophy and a few guys as well, where Nave Owen were joined up with Kildavin, Clonegall and Tullow, and we were known as Wexford. And then Nave Breed and Bagginalstown would have been known as Kilkenny. And then St Mullins and Mullins Rangers were, I think they were known as Waterford. So we had these area games, and then we used to meet up and buses, and we'd all be together a lot. So from there, moving up to under 16, we got to an under 16 B final. I think we were beaten by Antrim up in Nafina's pitch up in Dublin. And actually in under 16 level as well, we beat a Wexford team, a strong Wexford team back then. And that was the start of it for us, that we thought that we could push on and challenge. And we had a good bit of success. We were very unfortunate not to make a Leinster semi-final in the hurling. We were beaten by Dublin in Portlaoise in a playoff, and that would have been a huge breakthrough for us if we had gone through to a semi-final.
Yeah, Ronan Fallon was on that team, I think, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. He was centre-back, and I was the opposing centre-back, but We had a very strong team back then, and if we had a little bit more strength and depth, I think we could have went on and troubled some of the bigger teams. I think Dublin lost by pint to Kilkenny in the semi final afterwards. And it was a very strong Kilkenny team with Richie Power and Owen Larkin and all these guys.
Serious operators. What age were you when you started making that county team? You mentioned under 14, you weren't on it. Was it 15s or 16s again you got onto it?
I think it was the year after I started, because under 14s, I probably wasn't as fit as I should have been, and the hurling wasn't as good as it should have been. But then, sure, you're watching all these Munster hurling games in the mid-90s, and sure, you're sleeping with your hurling nearly. Every chance you get to go out to the garden, you're out poking the ball against the wall. And I remember at that time, my father got these Randall Hurleys. They're supposed to be very sought after in Wexford. And even though it was a bit too big for me, I actually took one on him. And I remember I had that for 3 or 4 years, and I got it repaired a good few times, and I used to sleep with it and everything. So hurling just kind of took over after I didn't make that Tony Forrestal team.
Yeah, and that will come as a surprise to many, and a surprise to me if I'm honest, because, you know, you went on, as you said, to make that Moishel team on your first year minor. So it's probably a good lesson to a lot of people out there, given the success you had at county level, which we will move on to, that, you know, don't panic too much if you're not kind of at the strong end of things at under 14 and 15, that things do come good. And I actually know that, you know, when you get to minor level, a lot of lads do blossom, and sometimes the guys that are very good at 14s don't really come on a whole lot, and it balances out, like.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose as an age group growing up at the club, we weren't very strong. We struggled for numbers, and we made a minor final against Ballinkillen. We were beaten narrowly against a strong Ballinkillen team, but under 16s, we weren't very strong. We were B's. So I suppose not being in a very strong team, kind of, I was one of our standout players then, and the pressure was on me to perform every day, and I put pressure on myself, and that's kind of where it started to come good for me, maybe under 15s.
First county final, we'll say then, 2002, you were middle of the field, still a minor, against St. Mullins. You scored 4 goals, they scored 4 goals, but they came out, I think, 2-point winners maybe in the end or something like that, narrow margin.
They did,
obviously, obviously quite memorable. I think, were you hitting freeze that day as well?
I was on the freeze that day, and I suppose going up, I was kind of overthinking it the whole week. Coming up to it, I was over practicing the freeze, and I remember I was focusing on the game all day, and Sunday morning I was focusing on the game, and then I felt like going out into the pitch, I felt the legs were like jelly. I felt like I had no energy left. I'd used up all my nervous energy. So that was a big lesson for me going forward. Like any of the bigger games that I played afterwards, I used to think about it the Friday night of training and think about the game, and then all day Saturday I think about everything else, and even Sunday morning up until a couple of hours before the game I start focusing then, because you use up all your nervous energy and you just don't have it in the tummy then, so you don't.
Does that develop with age, or how do you actually go about channeling that?
I think it comes down to experience and actually going through those experiences and learning from them.
Yeah, because like when it happens, like, just say if that happened to me now, for example, right, I'd be thinking, oh shit, this happened before, how do I not let it happen the next time? And all of a sudden, you're already overthinking. So that's kind of, it's probably not the most straightforward thing for everyone to, you know, it seems like you learned the lesson kind of immediately, whereas other lads might have taken a bit more time to try and get over it. Some lads actually never get over it, and you hear a lot of lads saying it.
Yeah, well, I suppose naturally, I'm an easygoing person enough naturally, and I don't tend to normally overthink things. But coming up to that game, it was my first county final, and I was playing against the likes of Pat Cody and Davy Dial, all these hurlers I would have gone up watching and would have been heroes of mine playing for Carlow as well. And I suppose I was putting loads of pressure on myself that I didn't want to let down the other teammates that I would have grown up wanting to play with as well. So it was a big occasion for me, and it didn't go too well for me on the day, I can remember.
It went a lot better the year after, because we won't go straight to the county final, but that's when you got called up as a Carlow senior hurler. Who gave you the call, and what was that like getting it?
I suppose the first call I can remember is the call going to the senior hurling team in Moishel. I was supposed to go play a junior hurling game that Saturday evening. Was on before the senior game against Bagnallstown, and Thomas Doyle, who was a selector with the club, called up to the house and told me not to go to the game that was starting in the senior. That's the one that stands out most. After that, Tom was involved with the county team as well, and he was actually the one that gave me the call to go in and train with him.
I'm going to just jump in, because That's an interesting one. So the phone call when you went to play senior club hurling, you're getting ready to play a junior hurling game. Was that a bit of a shock to you, or how did you react?
It was a huge shock because I'd only played one challenge game with the senior team, and I just thought it was because they were low on numbers and there was a couple of guys away. So to actually get a call to go start your first senior game when I wasn't even 17 yet was a big shock.
Where were you playing?
Wing back. I was marking a Rock Pender from Bagnestown.
Full of running.
But
you would have been as well because you're only 17. So
I would have been, yeah. So yeah, that was the one day that stands out to me because the call to go into the county team was only to go in and train, and sure, I didn't expect to be getting as much game time as I did so quickly.
And you were straight in. Were you straight in centre back with the county as well? I think you might have been.
I was, yeah, straight in centre back. I suppose I had been strong enough as a minor with Carlo, and then I remember we played Wexford in Carlo in the under-21s, and I was still a minor, and I was marking Red Barry and Rory Jacob. All these guys were playing. I think I'd done okay as well that day, so I think it was kind of. They were all playing with senior with Wexford as well, so I suppose I knew myself that I could make the step up.
Well capable of it, says you. But like those first couple of years with the county were bleak enough times.
Yeah, very bleak, yeah. I remember we went to Mayo and we got beaten in it. And it was actually a very bad day for myself because I think I was starting full back, and I didn't know any of the Mayo players, but the guy I was marking was Keith Higgins. Sure, obviously I didn't know who Keith Higgins was at the time. But after a few minutes, I knew who he was.
found out fairly lively.
I did, yeah.
He's a serious hurler. I think he's probably a better hurler, as good and all as a footballer as
he is.
He has
serious pace and a serious skill.
Yeah, so that was a rude awakening then.
It was, yeah. And that was one of the worst days in the county jersey because it wasn't going well at halftime. And I remember Big Des actually broke the physio table in the dressing room at halftime. And the second half wasn't much better. So
did he smash it or jump on it or what did he do? Because
he smashed it.
And do you know what? If you were to tell me he smashed it with his fist now, I'd believe it. Because he did. Upon that lad, it's like a bucket of a JCB.
Yeah. So it couldn't get much worse than that. So I think that was the year that Owen Garvey came in mid-season and took over, and we went to Burr to play Mayo in a relegation playoff, and we won that day, but we only barely came out with a victory.
But they had absolutely annihilated you in the corresponding fixture that you just
had, yeah.
Sure, turnaround, like
it is, yeah. And I remember myself and Ronan Minchin from Bagnestown were starting midfield that day, and the two of us were only 18. Well, Ronan was probably 17, I was 18, 19.
Which was serious going. And before we move on to 04 then, so the county final win, that was your first. You beat Rangers, I think it was 2-15 to 17 points. And Rangers were starting to come, they were getting close to, I know, you know, there was another final in 05 that you played them in and beat them in that too, but they were really starting to make a push. 17 scores apiece, but obviously goals won out, and special day for yourself.
Yeah, I suppose my first senior final win, sure, I'll never forget it, obviously, and yeah, I remember on the day we were very lucky. Obviously, we had a big goal threat with Big Deads and Robert Foley and these guys. But we were under no illusions after that. The Rangers were coming. Like they were playing a different brand of hurling to everyone else. They were being smarter. They were creating space. And that's they've continued that on, so they have to this day.
Yeah, in fairness to them. 0-4 as well with the county and club. Not the most memorable, I don't think, from a county point of view. I know things were starting to turn. Maybe you'll correct me on that, but there's one thing that stands out for me. That was the year, obviously, Nair Breed won the senior championship, right? And you were already in the semi-finals, and you had Nair Breed in the last group game. Now, there was a vicious rumour that went around at the time that Nair Vaughan were kind of, well, I won't say taking it handy, but they would have sooner saw Nair Breed in the semi-final rather than seeing St Mullins in the semi-final. And by Nair Breed beating Nair Vaughan, St Mullins were gone, and Nair Breed were true. We won't get you down the whole route of match fixing, but was there kind of a little bit of truth in that, do you think?
No, I don't think there was. Every day we go out, we try to win.
Yeah. Yeah, because like it was an easy enough victory. Like, it was a really weird game. I was only a chaplain, but like, I still remember it. It was kind of like, Jesus, so going through the motions, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And another little funny one about that, again, you know, obviously I was only 12 or 13, but I remember walking out of the, what do you call it, walking out of Dr. Cullen and meeting Pat O'Horan. And Pat O'Horan was talking to Ned Hogan, a neighbor of man. And in his pocket, he had a slip. It was one of those fixture things that, obviously, that's what they were doing that time to confirm which one you were refereeing. And I think it was Nev Owen and St. Mullins wrote on it.
Was it?
So they were, the county board were fairly certain of it as well. But,
there you go.
Yeah, that's the way. So 2005 then, that's when the Christian Cup came in. And, you know, semi-final against Down, I think, up in Parnell Park, and they come out on top, I think, as far as I remember.
They did, yeah. They had a very strong team that day.
Magic Johnson and Paul Braniff.
Paul Braniff is probably one of the best hurlers I ever played against. He had pace, power, he had everything, and he couldn't hook him. He held the grip on the hurl so short, he couldn't hook him. But they were very strong. Simon Wilson was another guy, very good hurler. But down were causing shocks in the league with some of the big teams back then as well. So they were.
Yeah, they had good results against Cork, I think, and a few more.
If you go up to Ballycran and come out with it with a win, you're doing very well.
Yeah, no, they're a good side. Like, now Westmeath, I think, won that final. They won the very first Christy Ring, and it was a decent game as far as I can remember. But back with the club end, so. Look, that was, if you look back on it now, I think that was a poor enough final against Rangers. But you still won, so it doesn't really matter.
Again, we were very lucky to come out with a victory that day. I remember Edmunds Broome was playing in the goal for us, and his brother was getting married in Mexico, so he wasn't there for the final. And Red Brian Murphy started in the goal, and he never played in the goal before in his life. And Rangers had a few one-on-ones, and they just tapped him over the bar. So I think if they had taken their chances, they could have beaten us that day. But then we had the likes of Big Dez and Robbie Foley and these guys, and we were very hard to beat.
Definitely. And that's also the year that you played, you really should have beat James Stevens, like, and I'm sure that still hurts to this day. That was some game, and they were all earning champions at the time, and I don't think they were.
Yeah. I think it was a lack of experience. The last 5 minutes, Brian Murphy got a goal to put his 2 pints up, and I think it was James McAvoy or one of these guys got 2 pints straight away. But if we had been experienced enough, one of us should have went down injured, slow down the whole game, and try and get the backs to the wall. That's definitely one that we let slip away.
I've never been at that, and you're thinking, this could happen, like, this really could happen. And was that purely the sense of, you know, absolutely nothing to lose, or what was the thing behind it? Like,
yeah, it probably was. We just went out to her. Like, I suppose a big regret of the clubs has been over the years that we haven't really focused too much on the club championships. We've kind of enjoyed the county championships, and then whatever after that was a bonus. We never kind of focused on trying to get to a Leinster final,
which you really could have had, because like,
which you really could have had. Side. Yeah, it was. Yeah, we had a big physical side, like Sapari Kyo, Kevin Nolan, Damien Roberts. All these guys like would hold themselves at any team.
Yeah, definitely. You had the scoring power, as you said, up front, like with Robbie and Dez and Brian Redd, and you know, geez, it was a really good side. You probably underachieved to a certain extent, like.
Yeah, we definitely did. And I think after 05, Harlan was seeing a bit of a renaissance, and the day of 15-on-15 was nearly gone, and we didn't move with the times. We stayed trying to play the direct ball into the target man, and everyone wins their own ball. And you have to have a very good team to do that. Like, everybody says Kilkenny were able to do it, but in my mind, Kilkenny didn't play 15-on-15. Owen Larkin, all these guys tracked back, and they put in a shift as well. So they did.
Yeah, it was just one of those myths, really, that people kind of. Yeah, and Cody doesn't do tactics, and
yeah,
there has to be some little bit of a game plan in order to be.
I think so. Yeah,
that successful, as the fella said. Like, it's mad to think that Naomh Vaughan actually haven't won a senior championship since that. Like, that's 16 years ago. Yeah. Like, given the caliber of players that she had, like.
Yeah, well, I suppose a few players retired around the same time, and we, like, in 2005 we had a very strong minor team with the likes of Dwayne Kavanagh, Micheál Mullins, Dinny Joe Reig, and all these guys. Brother Aina was on it, and they won two minors, probably minor. They didn't win a minor football, I don't think. They won two minor footballs in hurlings as well. I'm sure we thought that there was just going to be no end to success, but we had a group of guys that retired around the same time, and then when you bring too many younger guys on at the same time, it's a big step up the senior, and it hasn't really worked out.
Yeah, and I remember there was serious talk about Dwayne that time. Dwayne did 4 years county minor and started all 4 years. Like, the only other person I've heard of doing that, and again, I'm open to correction. If anyone wants to correct us on it, they can get in touch on social media. I think Brian Corcoran is the only lad that I've heard of that actually did that as well.
Like, yeah, Dwayne was a serious hurler. He probably should have played a bit more at senior level at inter-county, but the skill is unbelievable.
Ridiculous skill set. Like, he was, he's your first cousin anyway, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Yeah, like, I remember you're talking about those finals. They played Naomh Breed in the minor B final in 04, and they played Naomh Breed in the minor A final in 05. And in 04, Dwayne was centre-back, like, on his first year under 16, playing centre-back minor. And now, to give a bit of credit, Cottle Coughlin was centre-forward for Naomh Breed. And they were, I think they were marking each other again the following year in that minor A final, and still had two more years of minor to play.
Yeah.
You know, so they were serious sides, like, the, you know.
They were, yeah.
I get what you're saying, that perhaps maybe you might have took it a little bit for granted or whatever, but, you know, we'll roll on to 06, and that's when Carla got to the Christering final. Now, you spent a lot of your time in America, I think, that summer, and you talk us through that one, and then we'll talk about what happened actually on the day of the Christering final.
Yeah, well, I suppose I had the opportunity to go to Boston for the summer, and after the league, I went to Boston, and the championship hadn't been played yet, and the boys... It was actually the league part of the Christy Ring that I left, and I went to Boston, and the boys played the semi-final and they won, and Owen Garvey was on the phone to see if I could come back for the final. And sure, I didn't think too long about it, because I didn't know if I was going to get a chance to play in Crow Park again. So in hindsight, it was a big regret coming home, because I think it was Des Shaw that missed out in the final when I started, and Des is a good friend of mine, and he had a very good game in the semi-final, and it was a big regret, I suppose, in hindsight, having got to play in Crow Park the year after, or 2 years after.
Yeah.
So,
were you much fit, do you think you were fit, like, and you're in America playing hurling, but, like, you're not just playing hurling for the summer, obviously.
No. Well, I'd only been there about three weeks. I haven't been there 4 weeks, and I was doing a bit of training, so I probably was match fit, but the day was a disaster from the word go for us. We just didn't get into the game at all, and there was a very strong interim team, and they just blitzed us early on.
Yeah. Were you nervous that day yourself?
I was, yeah. I was nervous, and I suppose me starting and coming back the way it did probably wasn't good for the camp either, and hindsight, I think I should have stayed in Boston for the summer.
Yeah, obviously that played on your mind a little bit. You must have been kind of a little bit uneasy to some extent coming back, and as you say, you know, someone missed out because of it. Was that all, obviously that was going through your head, and I'm sure you spoke about that with Garvey at the time, did you?
I did, yeah. The management team wanted to bring me back because Antrim were a serious team that time when he kind of needed everyone. And I kind of had it in my mind that maybe I'd come back and not start, and if things were going bad, maybe see what happens. But they said that they wanted to bring me back, and they weren't going to bring me back if they weren't going to start me. So that's what happened.
That was it. Like, I think rabbits in the headlights is probably the best way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah. And the day from the word go, the day wasn't good. I remember in the second half, I got a bang on the hand, and I was actually the Antrim doctor stitched me up in the dressing room afterwards, and I got 3 or 4 stitches in the hand, and I was thinking, this is a nightmare. Bring me back to Boston.
Ship me back to Boston.
Yeah.
So that was the crack with 06, because Rangers obviously went on to win that championship. And
yeah.
07 then, you know, I think, again, there was, obviously, in getting to the 06 final, that was a serious game against Down, actually. I know you weren't around for that, but it was a serious encounter. 07, a league final against Westmead, I think, and then a semi-final against Westmead, and they were victorious on both days.
We were well beaten down in, I think it was in Limerick, the league final.
Bad day, as far as I can remember. I think it was
bad, very bad day, yeah. We had some bad days against Westmead around that time. They were very strong. They had Andrew Mitchell, Brendan Murta, all these guys were very strong at that time.
And it was a big rivalry.
It was a big rivalry, and even when we did get over the line, I made that against them in 08, that was made it a bit more special, because they had been getting the better of us up until then.
Yeah, now that was a serious, serious game of hurling. That was Jim Green came in 08, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jim Green came in with John McGrath on the strength and condition side of things, and that was it. Owen Garvey had done great work, and he had brought it to a certain stage. And then Jim had a big aura about him. He made everybody feel like they were 7 foot tall walking around. And then we had John McGrath with the physical. We were never as fit as we were going into the 08 final.
Turning that back around, I mean, having been in such a positive position, and then I think, did Murta hit both goals in stoppage time or something like that?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Yeah, I think the memory is a little bit hazy of the last few minutes of that game, because we were in control up until then. But I think he went in full forward and he got a goal. And then they won a 21-yard free just before close to full time, and he buried it. So he did. I remember being in the line, and I don't think he even seen it.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to be standing on the line for any of his. Even if he took one tomorrow, now I wouldn't like to be standing on the line.
No. So to win it an extra time, I suppose, made it a bit more special than afterwards.
And Eddie probably with the longest speech of all time, but took Carlo a while to get up to that position. So we won't begrudge him a few minutes.
No, definitely not.
We weren't going to at the time. It was mad though. There was some crowd in Tullamore that day, like.
There was, yeah. I suppose There is a nice support base for hurling in Carlos. I know it's mostly down the south, but then when things are going well, there is a good core group of just Carlo people in general that like to follow the team. I remember around that time with Owen Garvey, when we were coming off the field, going down the tunnel, there used to be a lot of people waiting around the tunnel cheering us off the field. And I remember Libby Shaw, Des's mother, was organising buses to different games, and the buses were sold out. So there was a good buzz around Carlo hurling that time.
There was buses going everywhere. I remember one went up to Derry one day, and the match got called off after
the
supporters bus going the whole way up. Libby was great for that, and that was just, they were great times. Like 09 then, back to back Christy Rings, and that was down in Croke Park, and that was a tight enough game.
It was tight, yeah, but the game on the scoreboard was tight. But I felt we felt like we were comfortable, like we didn't hurl to the full of our potential, but we were comfortable enough in the end. I think in my mind we were anyway.
Robbie's goal, I think, was the
Robbie's goal was the big turning point, and I suppose it was a greasy day for hurling, and it wasn't ideal conditions, but. Sure, Robbie scored a lot of important goals over the years for us.
You have a story. I don't know if it's from this game, but something about Leicester not going for a goal.
In the first half of that game, I think we were in Brennan's pub in Loughlin Bridge. I think it was the day after the game or the weekend after the game, I'm not sure, but somebody said to Leicester about first half, he was soling through the middle, and he was got to the 21, and he passed it out to Robbie when it looked like he should have shot himself. And I think he had a quick, smart reply. He said, "I had a tenner on Robbie for first goal." Yeah.
Do you know what? No, it wouldn't surprise me.
No, it wouldn't surprise me. You wouldn't know it, Leicester.
Now, Shane, it's a good job we're not kind of tabloidy on the Left Wing Back podcast, because between trying to orchestrate semi-final pairings in the club front in 04 and lads having their teammates back to the first goal scorer, might be very PC, but no. Look, sir, that's the. I don't think it'll wash nowadays somehow or another.
No, I don't think so. I'm sure with all the social media and everything out there now, I don't think he can do much.
No, you wouldn't get away with that sort of cracks, as you. No. But, yeah, so that kind of puts us nicely into, like, there was, I can't really remember, I know in 08 with the promotion relegation thing, it was ridiculous because he had to play Leash a week after that. And Sir Ira in office stayed to hurl.
No.
So that was never going to work out. But after winning in 09, then that you got automatic promotion, I think, did you?
Yeah, and deservedly so. Like, it was ridiculous for us. Like, it was a huge thing to win our first Christy Ring, and obviously we were going to celebrate it, and training was going to be light enough during the week, and it was a very tough and physical game against Westmead as well, and everyone was drained, so physically and mentally we weren't prepared for that game.
Yeah, and like, if you look at it now, and I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent, it's so ridiculous that just say Kerry win the John McDonagh Cup, they're going into Leinster next year, not into Munster. Like, yeah. It's fairly clear. I mean, they all want to promote hurling.
Yeah.
But like, Kerry's not going to learn nothing from going into. They want to be playing Waterford and Tip and Limerick and the whole lot of them.
For a few years there, and even now, it looks like they make it up as they go along. It's kind of lip service to the smaller counties, and hurling is dying in some counties. And I know we're still probably punching above our level because of our playing numbers, but I think the GAA need to look into it and start pumping some resources into coaching and in school levels in all these smaller counties like Carlow and Leash, because hurling will die out if it's not looked after.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. But look, thankfully there was a little bit of sense on that one in 2010, and you went up, and again, when I say there's a bit of sense, there's a little bit of nonsense as well, because in the first round of Leinster, you got a bit of a beating off Leash, and then in the first round of the qualifiers, you play Leash again, which the mind boggles. But that was that was a great turnaround, and that was a great day and a great victory.
Yeah, I suppose the way we won it in the end as well was huge. I remember Dennis Murphy scoring that pint off his knees, and Dennis had a great game that day, and it was a great victory for Carlow, so it was.
I say this every time. I think it was James Hickey's episode last year. How did that not make the highlights package on the Sunday game? In that little short 2 minute piece that they do.
Yeah.
He scores a pint off his knees, and I still can't really figure that one out. It was, and I haven't really seen, I don't know if there's footage of that anywhere, but if there is, I'd love if someone got in touch and sent it into us, because it was a remarkable piece of skill.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing it again, because I was up the other end of the field. I didn't see it, get a good view of it.
he scored a point off the knees, and then up again right at the end, he got the winner, I think, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Yeah, he got the winning goal.
Yeah.
The
winning point, I think, at the end, yeah.
Winning point in the end, yeah.
I don't know, did he level it and actually, what do you call it, score the winner? I think Styler might have leveled it. I don't know, I could be wrong, but Dennis definitely got the winner.
He did, yeah.
And it was a savage day. And you went up to Antrim then, I think it was the following week, and possibly should have won that one, like.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, we were cruising at halftime, we thought we were kind of going well, and then Antrim just blitzes in the second half, and sure, Watson and these guys, they're very hard to stop for a full game, and they snuck out over us in the end, but that was a very disappointing day.
Let's not jump past the 2010 league campaign where you beat Wexford, and let's put a bit of context on this. In 09, Wexford gave Carlow a terrible beating below Wexford Park.
Yeah.
And then you beat them in Dr. Cullen, and it was a strong Wexford team. Like, I mean, there was only a couple of regulars, to the best of my knowledge, missing. It was still a really strong team that was out, and geez, it was great. Like, that was a savage victory.
Yeah, that was a huge win for us. I remember the year before, I was playing full back in both days, and the year before, I remember we were just being bombarded from their back line. I remember Malachy Travers was coming out, and he was pinging ball left, then right to Rory Jacob, and they were making runs, and it looked like there was no pressure on the ball coming out. But I remember I tried to get out in front of Rory Jacob at one stage and I turned to run after him and I pulled my hamstring and I had to go off at half time. But the second day, I think it was led by Andrew Gall and Mark Brennan up front. Every time a Wexford guy came out with a ball, he was harried and hassled, and the delivery into the forward line was very easy for us to defend. And that was a huge difference in the 2 years. And you have to give Kevin Ryan great credit. He was the one that identified that. And Jerry Fitz had us working on tackling methods, and it was mostly aimed at a forward line, which the likes of Styler and these lads don't like tackling, but they did that year.
Yeah, whether they liked it or not, but I think it might have been the following week or else the week after that Clare came to town. There's only a point in it, and look, Shane, I hate bringing this up, but
you know
what's going on already, says you. It was, I think, 1-9 to 11 points, and you were a free. Now, it was a good bit out, and it was actually out near the sideline as well. And
it was one that you should have been scoring. Well, I had been hitting the freeze fairly well that day, and I was confident enough walking up to it, and I was going to take my time over it, and probably took too much time over it, and just barely pulled it too much to the left, and she didn't curl back in enough, and that was heartbreaking, because that would have been a huge result to follow up on beating Wexford.
Do you think, did you go through all the same steps as you normally would go through or when you think back on it? And was it just, it tailed off? Or can you actually recall?
Yeah, I suppose I thought about it. I was thinking about it too much, and I was trying to compensate too much for the wind, because I had scored one a few minutes before that, I think, or not too long before that. And she pulled in nicely into the centre over the back spot. And this one, I just pulled it a little bit too much. I was trying to compensate too much for the wind, or maybe it was a bit of the pressure on the last puck of the game. But she didn't swing back in for me anyway.
Yeah, as far as I remember, the technique didn't look any different to the one you hit beforehand. Like, it was just didn't swing back in. But in that moment, right, and as you're stepping up, are you thinking to yourself, are you relishing the fact that you're possibly going to be the lad that is going to give a result that's going to be so memorable? Is that going through your head, or are you thinking, sure, look, I'm just going up here to hit a free like I would have in the field? Is there anything that's going through your head, or am I overthinking on your behalf here?
When the frees are going well, you're very confident stepping up to them, but obviously after missing a couple, then you're a bit nervous going up to it, and that's when things can start going wrong for you. But on that one, I was hitting the frees well all day, and I was very confident walking up to it, and as you said, it would have been a big result for us. She didn't work out for me anyway.
Yeah, and look, I mean, we're after getting out of that mold of accepting moral victories, but at the time, I can tell you one thing, there was no lad out there saying bad words about Shane Kavanagh, despite what you may think in your head, because, how many times did you pull over ones that got us out of trouble, or won his game? So you probably gave yourself a hard time, though.
I did, yeah. I was thinking about it for a while afterwards, and I suppose after beating Wexford, everybody thought it was just a flash in the pan, and then to back it up with a draw against Clare would have been huge for us. But, as you said, moral victories weren't good enough for us at that stage.
Yeah, and a good Clare side as well, not to be forgetting. They won All-Ireland only 2 or 3 years after that. And
they did, yeah.
Conlon was playing that day. Your man, big Derek Honan, was there.
Dermot McMahon.
Pat Donlan, them lads were knocking around, to the best of my knowledge. Yeah. So it showed the progress that was made. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and Sparrow Loughlin was over them that time, and he was getting some success with them. And they were very complimentary of our style of hurling afterwards, and they kind of there was no kind of pat on the shoulder hard luck stories. They were surprised at how good we were.
Yeah. Now 2011, the first thing I think of in 2011 is the county final, and you knock 7 shades of shy out 100 yourselves and Rangers, particularly in the replay of that county final. There was, I swear to God, some of them boxing matches you look at now, there's hardly a slap in them. There was enough to do about 10 modern day boxing matches in that now. Serious stuff,
I think it was mostly handbags for sure. I think we're going to play them out against the Rangers anyhow, because we reckon they started it from the throw-in.
Yeah, well, what did actually happen? Was it them trying to lay down a bit of a marker that they weren't going to be bullied, or were you saying?
I think it was. I think from the throwing, I think I can't remember. It was Damien Roberts and somebody started squaring up to each other, and I think there was something going on in the stand as well, and it all got a bit heated all over the place. So Yeah, sure. These things happen, and it just goes to show the passion in both sets of players and supporters.
That was a hard game to referee. I don't know that no one got sent off. Like, and the Cornwall lads could have been sent off. it was a good game. And look, I know it didn't end in your favour, but I'd say, look, from a Rangers point of view, that was big for them because there was a saying going around that they couldn't beat Meister in the final. And obviously that would have been a thing in your mind as well. Look, they haven't done it, so it probably is a little bit in our favour. In fairness, they found a way.
Yeah, they found a way. I suppose we had a few chances the first day that we let go, and we kind of felt like that we'd left behind the first day. And after a result like that, it's hard to pick yourself up for a replay. And kind of Rangers getting the draw the first day kind of gave them confidence, I suppose, that they could beat us in the final, and that's the way it turned out.
In around that time as well, was it 2010, actually? I think he won intermediate football. Is that right?
Yeah, we did, yeah. And we beat Ballinabrana in the semi-final. We beat Bagnallstown in the final. And that was kind of... We were kind of fit from the hurling. We were going well. And we never really do too much training on the football side of things. It's just turn up for the games. And it's kind of... It's a pity, really, because... There's a decent football team there to compete at senior level in Carlow, and we should be up at senior level maybe most years.
And a few handbags down in Rosslare at that time too, wasn't there?
Yeah, we went down to Rosslare, and sir, club championship was kind of, I remember there was a few glassy eyes going down there. I think it was a 21st party the night before, and they had a few decent players. David Murphy, who played centre-back for Wexford, and they had a few strong players, and... They thought that they were going to bully us, and we decided that we didn't want to be bullied, and there was a few handbags.
And in around that time as well, you had a few appearances as a forward with Carlo, and we'd never seen you playing in the forwards before, and I think possibly 2010, you were playing up there for a while. I don't know, did that carry through to 2011, and what way did 2011 kind of shape up anyway with the county?
I suppose the way hurling was going, and... It was kind of going with a two-man full forward line, a little speedy forwards. It wasn't going to suit me as a full back. I was used to wrestling with a big bear of a full forward that wanted to try to catch a high ball. So John Myler, when he came in, decided that he wanted a target man as a centre forward, and he tried me centre forward, and I had Sean Murphy kind of beside me. And I used to try and win the dirty ball and throw it out to him and let him on his way. But I think that was... Well, Kevin Ryan tried me in the forwards, and I played there a bit and didn't really work out that well. But I think it got on okay with when John Myler took over.
Yeah, no, it worked out well. You were picking off points as far as I can remember. And did you like the freedom playing up there, like that you didn't have to worry about a lad, that someone had to worry about you?
Yeah, I suppose you'd be a bit more sore after playing a game in the forwards. You're kind of getting a bit more attention than normally when you're giving it out, you're playing the backs. But I enjoyed it a lot, yeah. It was kind of a free hit for me because I was kind of dropping short, kind of take ball off the half-back line and then try and win a few puck-outs as well. And I enjoyed it a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and that game against Limerick, again, weren't in the habit of moral victories, but that was another game Carlo probably could have won. You picked off a couple of points that day. I'm nearly certain you were centre forward. A wet day blowing Limerick.
Yeah. That was when we left behind us. I think we kind of stayed in with them in the first half, and they were trying to blitz us in the first half. And then I remember Niall Moore and these guys coming on in the second half, and they were kind of getting worried that they weren't pulling away from us. And then we were kind of hanging in there, and then Styler had a chance near the end for a goal, and I think if that had gone in, we would have beaten them because they were rattled.
Yeah,
I remember the first half. I think it was Donal O'Grady was coming out with the ball, and Mark Brennan hit him a clatter, and
I remember it.
He broke his collarbone, and he actually nearly knocked out John Mike as well. Because Donald O'Grady hit John Mike after Mark had hit him, and that kind of gave us a bit of confidence that these guys weren't going to walk all over us, and we kind of stood into them, and they didn't like it, and that's one we definitely left behind us.
Yeah, that was, I can still hear the tone about that, to be honest with
Yeah.
you. The closest thing I can remember to it, I remember Jacko Rodgers and Mark Clyden belong to Kildavin in a club game as well, and you can literally nearly still feel the ground shake after Ginobili. Yeah, I remember that actually. Yeah, he took one of his own lads and Don O'Grady. But again, it was a fair shoulder, wasn't it? Like it was just
I
square
was,
there.
yeah. There was no free. No, it was shoulder to shoulder, and Donal O'Grady never had any issues with Mark afterwards. But that was kind of halfway through the first half, and that kind of gave us all a bit of a lift that we could give him a good rattle.
Yeah, a couple of league titles there as well in around that time. I'm after jumping past something which I'll go back to in 08 because it's probably one of the biggest parts of your career. Shinty, you captained the Ireland Shinty team and the halfback line, Tommy Walsh, Shane Kavanagh, Sean O'Gahalvin, and you in the middle, like.
I know. I suppose it was a big shock to be named captain, especially when there was players like that playing. And the Shinty is a great occasion to actually get to play with some of the guys that you've actually been playing against over the years, and it's a great occasion. But that was definitely a special occasion over in Nolan Park. The result didn't go our way, though. That was the only downside.
But still, that's fairly mega stuff, like, with the two boys either side of you. Were the sound men to talk to and stuff?
They were, yeah. They're two very different characters. Tommy's kind of off the field is a bit of a character, like he's messing and joking and having the crackers. Donald is kind of Donald Logue is straightforward, and it's all about the game, and there's no messing. Whereas Tommy would be start quizzes in the back of the bus and everything, so he would.
Yeah, Eddie Cody and Desi Shaw were on that as
Desi,
well. I think the three is rare together, aren't you?
Desi, the Shinty kind of suited Desi down to the ground because he used to lower, as he say himself, he used to lower the
Lord of Blade, yeah. He loved that one.
blade. Yeah,
He absolutely loved that one, in fairness. Some character, and a big fan of this podcast actually. He's always getting in touch about it. So
Is he?
and a good friend of yours, as you were saying, like.
Yeah, myself and Des sure went to school together in De La Salle and Bagnestown. Sure, we played with each other the whole way up along. I think it was the first or second year with the seniors we played together up in Navan. We played a very strong Meath team, and I remember Nicky Horn was swapping between myself and Des, and he was their big hurler at the time, and sure, myself and Des were, yeah, we sure we were the full back line for the first couple of years with Carlo, so we looked after each other.
Yeah, and you're still being touched, no doubt, obviously up and down.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So let's move back then, in around that time then, say 2014, you played a county final against St Mullins. I think that was 2014.
Yeah, that was
Yeah.
the yeah we had yeah, that was the year we got beaten by 2 points.
9-7 or something, really low
Nine
scoring, wasn't
seven,
it?
yeah. We had beaten Mountain Leinster Rangers in the semi-final, and we were going very well, so we were very confident going into the game. Mountain Leinster Rangers were only after being to the All-Ireland final the year before, and we trained very hard, and the year was going well for us. And it was kind of a wet, miserable day, and St Mullins ambushed us.
And I suppose in around that time then, with the county and stuff, we were moving into Pat English territory then at that stage. And you were obviously, it was getting to a stage where you kind of had to be persuaded, because I know, like, just say maybe not quite 2014, 2015, but in the years prior to that, you were going off and you played played a bit with Nerney, and you were playing B team soccer and you're having a great time. And
It was, yeah.
I think you actually enjoyed that as a release rather than being probably
Definitely, yeah.
consumed by the seriousness of County hurling, probably.
County hurling was kind of getting all consuming you. Like it wasn't just a 2 nights training and then on the weekends. It was every night of the week you have to be doing your mobility and stretching and just to try and I was also carrying a shoulder injury that time, and I was kind of being strapped up before every game, and I used to be sure I used to be sore after every game, and the enjoyment was kind of going out of it a little bit. But when Pat English came in, I had been booked in for surgery on a shoulder, and he kind of asked me to I was waiting for, it was 3 months away, so he asked me to come in for the league part anyway. So I played the first game against Kildare, and I think I played well, but I couldn't strike the ball properly off my right-hand side, so Pat was trying to talk me out of getting the operation until maybe later in the year, but I said I had to go get it done.
And are you kind of getting to a stage then at this particular point of your career where you're like, geez, I don't know, can I keep doing it? Because you did go on for another few years after that. Like,
I did, yeah. I went back after the shoulder operation, but the game was kind of changing, and it was kind of more about pace and fitter and pacier guys, and the game was kind of passing me by at county level anyway, I thought, near the end.
Yeah, so you were kind of, it was bad timing, I suppose, on your behalf. I know you were struggling, there was good reason for it, but you dropped off the Carlow panel, I think, was after the league in 2017. The lads won the Christy Ring a few months later, is that right?
Yeah, well, I played a challenge match with the club a week or two after the league, and I pulled my hamstring again, and I phoned up Colin Bonner and I said, that's it, that's me done.
Just like that?
Just like that. These too many injuries, and I knew I wasn't going to be a help to the squad. So
15 seasons, like, we are, you know, you're given serious, serious service, like, but do you regret not hanging on a couple of months at all? Because you won the
No,
Christian
because...
England.
I don't, because on the field, I didn't think I had much to offer, and I didn't want to be just hanging in there as a hanger on. I kind of, if I wasn't going to be able to help out the team on the field, I didn't want to be just hanging in there.
Yeah. So no regrets whatsoever. Fair play.
No regrets.
A lot of lads would, like, you know, the club, yeah. Then that was another county final defeat, and that was probably kind of one-way traffic as well. It felt like one-way traffic. I think there was 9 or 10 points in the end. I don't know, was there any pattern during that game where Naomh Owen kind of looked like winning it? Like,
no, we were kind of going more in hope than in kind of confidence. We kind of knew we were still a little bit off the pace, and we haven't got the squad at the moment to compete, and we didn't back then either. Like, we're kind of, Micheál Mullins and a few of these guys had emigrated, Denny Joe Regan, and we hadn't really replaced them, and there was kind of a generation missing there, so we kind of knew that we weren't up to the pace at that stage.
Are you at a point where you're looking to go on again this year?
No, I'd say I'll probably play a bit of intermediate if I'm lucky.
Right, okay. Which brings me to my next question. So we're after, we're both residents of Clesson now, we might as well put it out there. And yeah. I give in to peer pressure last year, and obviously went and crossed the dark side, as people would say, and started playing for a Leash club. What's the chances of me and you hooking up to play by a junior C or junior A?
I wouldn't say, very, very doubtful, I'd say. I'd say my football days could be finished now.
You wouldn't know. It's a good crack. Niall English is up there somewhere as well.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah. I haven't met him now.
Yeah, could have a right little... the old crack would be good after Junior Z games, you know?
Yeah.
It's not happening, Cav, is it?
No, I wouldn't say so, no.
Funnily enough, actually, just to put it out there on record, and I'm going off on a bit of a tangent. I don't want to be talking about myself and sabotaging your episode, but my first game for Clesson last year was a practice match against All Loughlin. Bearing in mind, my old club is Loughlin Bridge, and from my home place, All Loughlin is less than a mile. And it's just mad the way it worked out. We got on well. We scored a poxy enough goal, and we won in the end. But it's just mad the way it works out. So
it was a good debut.
On behalf of Clesson, then you're not coming to play with us any stage.
No, I wouldn't say so. I'd say if I struggle to play a little bit of junior, I'll play with Michael.
So look, we'll get a better negotiator up there maybe in a couple of years' time when you actually have finished playing yeah. Hurling all together. Right, so we've asked you to do a bit of homework like we do with all our guests here on My Time in the Gansey on the left wing back. And we've asked you to pick your best 15, and you have to put yourself onto it. So after much deliberation, who did you go with and why?
It was a very difficult team to pick because I've played on a few different teams at county level, and I'm going to be leaving out a good few very good hurlers. So I'm just going to give them a little mention afterwards.
That's grand. we can go to that. We can do that.
Goalkeeper, I couldn't decide on Edmund Sprune or Brian Tracy because both of them are very similar. But I played in Carlo IT with PJ Ryan for a year. So I'm going to put PJ Ryan in there because I couldn't distinguish between the two boys.
you don't upset the teammates, right?
No.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with PJ Ryan in the goal, and he's the only non-Carlo person on the team.
Okay.
So the full back line is Alfie Corker and myself and Des Shaw. Alfie, sure, I suppose, has been the most consistent Carlo hurler probably ever. He doesn't ever seem to have a bad day. I'm sure if I have to stick myself in there, I'll stick myself in there between Alfie and Desi to look after me.
the two of you, in fairness, like it's a kind of a toss up, to be fair, between yourself and Alfie for Carlo's most consistent performer since, you know what I mean? And that's not just saying it because you're here, but I don't ever recall a bad game. Like you're just consistent.
Alfie, in fairness though, he's a pure athlete, and himself and Desi used to have an agreement. If there was a little small pacey corner forward, he said, "I look after him," Alfie said. And obviously Desi, for myself and Desi, shouldered together for years, and he was one of the best performers, I think one of the best performers in the full back line for Carlo ever. Very rarely had a bad day out.
Before we go to the half back line, can I just point out you did play into provincial as well, so you left out a good few lads there, haven't you?
Yeah. After I only played a game with them, so I think it'd be unjust now to start picking over guys that I soldered with for years.
There you go, fair play. You're a loyal man. Half back line, so
Half back line is very difficult again. I went with David English, Owen Nolan, and Edward Cody. I suppose David English has been very consistent over, and he kind of came onto the team when I was midway through my career, I suppose, David has been excellent. He has it all, so he has. And Owen Nolan actually played his first game for Carlo in that Christy Ring final, that Christy Ring year that we got beaten by Antrim in the final, and he was excellent. Himself and Edward Cody were the only two that day that actually showed what they can do. Edward Cody, so that goes without explanation. Edward was, if the ball was there, Eddie was going to go for it, no matter who was in his way. And sure, the all-time caps for Carlo, and a brilliant leader in the team as well, obviously. So midfield, I'm going to go with two club men, and I'm going to go with Damien Roberts, who was excellent for Carlo and for Michael in midfield. And I'm going to stick my cousin Dwayne in there as well beside him. And I'm actually going to give Dwayne and Jack Kavanagh a half each.
Right, okay.
Jack Kavanagh from St. Mullins, because Dwayne probably didn't fulfill his full potential with the Carlo County senior team. But with the club, if some of the things that he does in training and in with the club is unbelievable, the skill he has. And so I'll give him a half, and I'll stick Jack Kavanagh in there as well. Jack has been excellent for Carlo over the years. He's an engine. He's up and down the field, and he's vocal, talking to players and everything as well. So I stick him in there for second half.
If you didn't play with Carlo for so long, I'd be saying no to this. But look, we'll let us like half.
Half forward.
Not because of Jack Kavanagh, by the way. Just this whole thing of a half each now. Because if we start doing that, everyone else will be at it as well. Yeah. Go on, yeah.
Half forwarding: Mark Brennan, Robert Foley, and Eddie Byrne. Obviously, it looks like we're going with a very traditional half forward line. The three of them are big ball winners. The three of them would be puck out options and have done it for Carlo on the big days. So that's the half forward line. The full forward line, then, I'm going to go with Juki in the corner, Andrew Gall. Mm-hmm. I had to put Juki in there somewhere, and in his latter years, he was playing corner forward, and he was absolutely excellent. I remember we played Limerick and Carlo one year in the league, and Juki, after the game, it looked like he needed to be carried off the field. He was getting so tired. He was so tired after the work rate and his positional sense and his skill was unbelievable. I'm going to put Big Desi in full forward, just because he gave me a few lessons down in the club pitch a good few evenings. So I can't leave him out. And I'm going to go give a half to each of these guys as well.
Jesus, you're killing me. You're killing me.
I'm going to give the first half to Styler and then second half to Dennis Murphy. Styler probably get tired after the first half. So, I'd have to give mentions to other guys. Richard Cody was very good over the years at Carlow, an excellent halfback. Sean Watchorn, same. Jacko, Pat Cody, Johnny Nevin. I suppose I didn't play with Pat Cody and Johnny Nevin when they were in the height of their powers, I suppose. So, Tom Dial as well. Paddy Keogh, another one. There's some excellent hurlers there. It's hard to get them all into a 15.
Yeah, I don't envy you now, to be honest. There's one or two other funny things we need to get to. The one with the keys down in Kerry, Tommy Murphy driving the bus there. Talk to us about that one there. We can't let you go without telling us that story.
Yeah, I suppose that time we weren't very well organised going to games. I remember Tommy Murphy drove a minibus down to Tralee, and we were staying over the night after the game. So Eddie Byrne was sitting up in the passenger seat beside Tommy in this minibus, and I think he had us all smoked out with the bus. And we stopped in a petrol station on the way down to get a sandwich in the petrol station. I think we only had 16 or 17 players that time. And so we all stayed over after the game in a hotel just outside Tralee. But Tommy Murphy was going home, and he got a lift off my parents. And Eddie Byrne was going to drive the minibus home the next morning. So my father was driving the car anyway, and next thing Tommy starts laughing in the back of the car. And they were gone past Limerick now at this stage. And my father says, "What are you laughing at, Tommy?" "I have the keys to the minibus in my pocket," he said. So my father had to turn around past Limerick and go back down to Tralee with the keys to the minibus. He couldn't write it.
Yeah, he told me another very funny one as well. And you mentioned Jack Cavanagh there. It was to do with Jack Horty's hand against Kerry. It must have been, I'd say, 2016 maybe, and he had to go to hospital or whatever, and it was obviously there quite late, but Tommy drove him back. And I remember I was talking to him a few days after, and he says, "Jesus, Kevin, I was doing the 90 the whole way home, lad." He says,
Tommy's one of the great characters of GAA.
Unbelievable. Yeah. You surely have another gem or two before we go from the county days or from the club days.
I have one, and I don't know if it's for the younger generation's ears, but I remember we were training in the outside pitch in Dr. Cullen Park one year, and Owen Garvey was over us, and there was a circus there, and there was a camel, I think, at the side of the goals that we were doing our shooting practice. Anyway, this camel was grazing away. So before we started training, anyway, Owen Garvey says, "Can anyone come up with a good sentence that involves us in training and the camel?" And Robbie Foley pipes up. He says, "I bet you Leicester's after being up and worse."
Oh, Jesus. Robbie's some York. I remember he had mixed grills before matches and stuff as well.
He was, yeah.
You'd have a fry, it'd be no problem.
Oh,
and
in your time, yeah. As well. Oh yeah, when we went to Sligo, I think one year to play Sligo, we went up and down the one day, and we got to mix grill in a hotel in Roscommon on the way up. It was different times.
nutrition and diet, as you, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Overall, Shane, just to summarise, I mean, some great times and great memories, and you're going to make a few more at the club with the sounds of things anyway.
Hopefully, I'll give it a go maybe this year at the intermediates and see how that goes. And I don't think that the senior days are probably done now at this stage. A few injuries getting the better of me at the moment. So I'd say it'd be junior football maybe and a bit of intermediate hurling, hopefully.
And how about coaching? Is that something that you think you might do? Or?
Yeah, I'd like to get involved at some level in the club and maybe see how it goes. Because it's definitely something that I'd be passionate about. And obviously, I'd have a bit of experience to back it up, hopefully.
Good stuff. Well, listen, Shane, it's been an absolute pleasure. Just a quick word as well to say you can subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube as well, and follow us there on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, of course, and Twitter at the left wing back. An absolute pleasure talking to you, Shane. Thanks for joining us here. This is, of course, your time in the Gansey, and it was a serious inning, so fair play, and thanks for coming on the podcast, all right?
No problem. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Yes, many thanks to Shane Kavanagh for joining us here on My Time in the Gansey on the Left Wing Back podcast. Plenty more to look forward to. We still have 5 more episodes on the series, and again, we thank our sponsors, Talbot Fitness, Carlow, the number one leisure centre in Carlow, and for more, you can check them out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. We're back again with another episode very, very soon. Until then, take care.